Without a doubt, what we're going to be talking about tonight will be one of the more sensitive but passionate subjects that we could talk about in terms of our thinking about our lives. Our relationships mean everything to us. Our relationship with God, obviously, should be that which sustains us. But each of us knows that we seek, naturally so, to have someone that will help us go to heaven. We seek a mate that will help us do what is right. And when you get into the question of dating and marriage, there's nothing more personal. You feel very inadequate. Many times you feel like, I don't know how in the world I'll ever, you know, find that person that's right for me. It's very humbling. And all of that is okay. Because keep in mind that our God knows our needs. And our God wants to help us. And tonight we're going to talk about wisdom. And what we need to, as we go through important issues of life like this, to know that we're not alone. And our God has given us instruction that will help us immensely. You will never regret putting God first and letting that be the basis of your pursuing one to date and then to marry and pursue all of your life. And the Bible indicates in the book of Proverbs the value of getting wisdom. I realize that when Proverbs 4, we're going to look at Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. I realize that when it comes to a subject like this, you're inundated with books and advice, and people try to tell you, you know, how you find the right person. And let's just start off with knowing we need God's help. I think one of the most valuable things that we can learn from tonight's lesson is let God help you. Pour your heart out to Him. Trust Him. Proverbs 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." We're going to lay down some principles from God, God's wisdom, that you need to put in your mind now. Because you make some wrong choices in these areas, the consequences are great. You make choices from God's wisdom, the blessings are immense. I believe when the home is what it ought to be, it's a taste of heaven. And I believe that with all my heart. And so that's what we're trying to talk in just the most simplest way, is to try to teach us how to find somebody to help us go to heaven. Let that be your focus. When Yvette and I married, we had engraved in our rings the letters H-O-L-T. And from the Old King James, it's based on 1 Peter 3:7, where it's heirs of life together. What a blessing that is to marry someone that will help you go to heaven. Now, I want to talk about just some things that we need to talk about because of our society. The first thing is, not everyone is eligible to marry. There are some people that, from God's law, are not eligible to marry. And what I mean by that is God's will is that everyone has the right to a mate. But you can choose to find a mate and then treat that marriage relationship in such a way where you are divorced. And in certain cases, you cannot remarry. Matthew 19 and verse 9, I will just start off there because we need it plain. I'm trying to give this to you plain and straight. As you begin to consider dating and marriage, understand the will of God. I'd like some others to read for me tonight. Matthew 19, 9. Who would like to read that has that, okay? And read so everyone can hear. We got people in other places here.
And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery.
Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but for tonight, I'm trying to give you wisdom in just a simple capsule. There are three groups of people based on this verse who are eligible to marry. First off, those who have never married. And we're talking about being eligible. We're strictly talking about having the scriptural right to do this. Just because they have the eligibility to marry doesn't mean that's the one you need to marry. But we're just talking about from God's standpoint. One who has never married has a right to a mate. Secondly, from Scripture, and we didn't even list the Scripture, but Romans 7 and others, Romans 7, 1-4, basically one whose mate has died, they have the right to remarry. And then in Matthew 19, 9, the third category of people is one who has put away their mate for unfaithfulness. So the first thing we need to look at is who is eligible to marry. Now, why I say this, do you know I've run across people that were single and began having close friendships with somebody of the opposite sex who did not have the right to marry or even dated. Now, folks, you're playing with fire there. I'm not saying that a person who is not eligible to marry we can't be friends with, but we need to be wise. I have seen in many instances where people say, we're just friends, but they're together all the time. And you see circumstances, oh no, we're not dating, we're just friends, and next thing you know, they're engaged and they're married. And so I'm saying we've got to have a commitment to God's will. You can marry someone who's been married before and they put away their mate for fornication. You can do that. But please be careful here. Just be wise. I realize in the context of marriage, divorce, remarriage that there will be a lot of faithful Christians who are seeking a second marriage. I mentioned from the pulpit years ago where there was a class that was taught at the old 77th Street building, 10 couples. My brother and his wife was one of the 10 couples. Everyone was a Christian. And the preacher told him, I said, well, in the course of 10 years, if you follow statistics of society, half of you would be divorced. It ended up being greater than that. I think now 8 of the 10 got divorced. And I knew of these people personally. And it was very sad. I think that was an exceptional group in the sense that's not typical of what happens when a Christian marries a Christian. But some of those had a right to remarry. The husband just ran off with a woman and wouldn't repent. The woman tried to... So I'm not telling you that if somebody has been divorced, they don't have a right to remarry. But make sure you understand God's will in that matter. It's really important. Okay, any questions on that? That's just right up front. We got to stay within God's law. Now, continuing on from that, the second point. Is this person a Christian? Again, I realize that, we're here. And by the way, you're so fortunate. You are so fortunate being here. Look at all the Christians that surround you. Wow, that is a rare thing in this country, even rarer in this world. When I was in Virginia, we had one student, wonderful student, but it was her. And, you know, if you're going to find some other Christians today, you're going to be going a long ways away to find them. And so the question is, why would you want to marry a Christian? You know, you look in Scripture, I gave one verse this morning, but look at Luke 1:6 where... Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now God chose, by the way, God chose the parents of John the Baptist. Okay? Now God chose the parents. Now what kind of parents would John the Baptist have? Zacharias and Elizabeth described in Luke 1:6. Who would like to read that one verse? Luke 1:6. Okay?
And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord.
Now how about that? They both were righteous before God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:5, it says, do we have no right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles, the brother of the Lord and Cephas? Now notice in this verse, if Paul was not married. And he said he had the right to take along a wife, right? Just anybody, right? Now in this verse, what does it say?
A believing wife.
Now could I say practically speaking, if your goal is to help marry somebody to help you go to heaven, why marry anyone else? And again, you know, I know that a lot of times we people, you know, you follow your emotions, your heart can be easily swayed. But I'm not talking about a bad person. I'm talking about a good person. And I understand that, and I understand how powerful our emotions are and our desire to find the right person. But you need to be determined to put God first here. Now, several things we can ask, and we can talk about this. I do believe as you're dating, and we're talking about in general in dating, I think it's best not to date a non-Christian in terms of advice here. But let's talk about in general. Let's just talk about dating. Let's say you are dating a non-Christian, or you're dating somebody that's got a serious spiritual issue that needs to be resolved. Is it wise to, like some, I've seen some girls do this, the motherly instinct, they're misunderstood. You know, if they'll just be around me, I get more time with them. And particularly after we marry, we can fix this. Have you seen people with that idea? It's like they want to mother a child. Now let me say this. You're not looking for a child to raise when you're seeking marriage. If you cannot have changes made before you marry that absolutely must be made, don't marry. I'm not saying we don't change after we marry. Yeah, us guys are quite a project in many ways in trying to learn about things. And I'm sure it goes both ways. You know, there's a lot of things we don't understand, and you're going to help us a lot in that process of learning about things we don't think about. But I'll tell you again, if there are things that absolutely must be changed, don't do it. Don't expect that it's going to happen after marriage. I can tell you way too many instances. Now, I'll tell you what us guys do. We all do. When we're dating. What do we try to do when we're dating? Just be ourselves? No, we put our best foot forward, don't we? We kind of want to hide the blemishes. We want to kind of make ourselves look to be attractive and good. But you know, that's another reason, by the way, in terms of dating. Yvette, what was our little saying that we had as we wrote to each other, we finished letters? J-A-M-O-T. We had a little saying between us, Jamot, just a matter of time. And we made a commitment, even while we were dating, two Christians dating, that we were not going to rush into marriage. We were going to have confidence in our relationship that it was the love of God that was in our relationship. You know, some people think of marriage sometimes like a salesman comes in. Oh, if you love me, we'll get married right now. We'll get married right now, real quick, so this won't fall apart. That's not how this relationship works. If we've got a good relationship today, and it's the right kind of relationship based on love of God, what's it going to be like tomorrow? It's going to be better, won't it? What's it going to be like next month? It's going to be better. I'm serious about this, that sometimes people get into the idea, if I don't marry this person right now, they may give up on me and send me away. Well, they're not the kind of person you need to marry. Marriage is based on a true commitment of love of God. And don't rush it. And so I made up my mind, by the way. I know I'm jumping ahead and just forgetting my outline a little bit here, but I'm speaking from the heart. I made up my mind that if I could not marry a faithful Christian, it's better to be single. And I didn't marry till I was 30. And if you'll have that mindset, God will help you. God will help you. It's not the worst thing in the world to be single. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 7 says there's some great advantages to it. Paul chose to be single. If you want to be mindful of that, a spiritual person can do it. But I understand our natural desire is to have a mate. And this is something that as you trust God, I really believe that He will answer and bless you here. Okay. Let me give you one other thing that I want to talk to you about here, and it's in the outline. And if you look on the... let's just get that... If you look on the article on page 3, you know, mixed marriages, I'm not saying when you're dating somebody that's not a Christian, or not the kind of, by the way, You can date somebody who's a Christian and you'll get in more trouble than dating somebody in the world. Now let me make that point. You know, we're talking about somebody that really serves God and loves God, okay? You can marry somebody, quote, raised in the church and get into just as big a mess as anything. But we're talking about, here in this case, mixed marriages. And this is some old statistics, I think, taken back in the 60s and 70s. But in the congregation in Miami, and by the way, statistics are worse now, but it says 143 Christian young people in the Miami congregation have married during the past 20 years. 79 married non-Christians. Of these, 57 left the church, with 25 being divorced. 22 are still faithful. 14 have converted their mates. 64 married Christians. Of these, 59 are still faithful to the Lord. Two marriages ended in divorce. Now, the statistics are much worse now. But why do you think it is that such a low percentage of Christians who marry non-Christians are able to convert their mate? Why do you think that's difficult? And why do so many Christians fall away in marrying a non-Christian? You ever wondered about that? Who's going to be the closest, most important person to you in this life when you marry? What ought to be? Your mate. And if your mate is not a Christian, I'm going to tell you, they're going somewhere in their life. They're going a certain trajectory. Let's let the ceiling represent you're wanting to go toward God. But here's a person who's of the world. I'm not saying they're a bad person, but that's not their direction. Now, here you are. You have now entered together in marriage. And you're wanting to grow close together. But which direction are you heading? You're heading in two different directions. This will tear you apart in a way that is hard to describe. It's difficult. The majority of Christians that I have found that married non-Christians, I think in the very process probably of their relationships made compromises. I'm not talking about moral compromises necessarily, but spiritual compromises. And many times they never really had a strong faith that was sufficient to influence that one, and they end up being the one influenced. The most powerful force on earth that Satan uses is relationships. One of the most powerful forces on earth that God uses is relationships. Some of you may be aware, and I'm still trying to get up to speed on this, but one of our students that had been with us for over a year was dating someone from a denominational background. And got an email just this last week that she's going to be part of a denominational church. And that she no longer wants to be associated with the church here. And I think some of you, I think she's kicked off on Facebook and some other things. And it's very sad, but there's a case of a relationship. She wanted to be with this man. And I visited with her mother, and we're talking, and they're very concerned about that. But relationships are powerful. By the way, if you're a Christian, and I'll just say this in general, and you're going to make a decision to, let's say, leave the congregation here, you believe it's right to leave, that we're doing some things wrong, what would you do as a Christian if you believed we were doing some things wrong and you were taking a stand? Would you talk with others about that? You would. And I want to say that to all of us. We could get caught in situations that are emotional, but if they are of God, we will reason, we will study, we will discuss. But you know, I can name, as you look at students that have come and gone from this congregation, look at who they date. Look at the influence that even the dating relationship can have on one, much less marriage. Now again, I'm not telling you that you can't date somebody that's weak and your influence make them strong and they become a great mate and a good Christian and you decide to marry them. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to find a super person out here in order to today. But I am saying from a wisdom standpoint that it's really good to date someone that is spiritual. Comments on this. I've found a ton of stuff out here. Some of you guys may have illustrations and points you want to make.
Amen.
All right. That's good.
All right. Yes.
I was going to say, I know a girl who started dating a guy, and the guy was converted while they were dating.
Yes.
As soon as they broke up, he left the church. And I don't know if he has something to say on that. Maybe you should.
You know, I made a rule for me that, you know, I was not going to date a non-Christian, and therefore that stuff. But you can convert a person that way. But, you know, you want, is it genuine? I'll tell you about me. I decided just to be on fire for God. Now, I'll tell you, I'm kind of strange. Okay, I'm kind of strange guy. I quote Scripture on my day. You know, I talk about things. If people thought that was funny, I had a friend of mine, you know, we'd do that on a day. Well, it worked out pretty good for me. I found somebody who loved God and didn't mind that and wasn't offended by that. You know, Yvette, she took an interest exam in college, and you know what the thing that said she was best to be for her career? To be a preacher. So she did the best thing and married one, but I want to tell you, I've heard her sermons, and they are good, you know. So, but you see, ultimately, if you're trying to find a mate, be the kind of person you want to marry. How about that? Because there are going to be a lot of people in the world, if you be the kind of person that, you know, a Christian, they don't want to do things with you because you want to be fun, you know. There will be people that won't have anything to do with you because you're a Christian, and it's a blessing when that happens. Yes?
Well, my mother didn't permission to say this, but it's weird because it's, you could be so convinced that someone that you love will be a Christian because
yes.
I'm adopted, but my birth dad, my adopted dad, they were married. She converted him, but he was a Christian for 7 years. And he just left it for someone else because he got tired of being Christian. So he said to her, he got tired, and she was hopeful that he would be a Christian. She believed he was as faithful as she was. And he left after 7 years of being a Christian. And you have to be extremely careful and sure that who you're dating and who you're going to marry will be a Christian with you.
And sometimes, I'm not saying that that person wasn't a genuine Christian. You got to marry a Christian, then you got to maintain your faith. And I'm saying your interest is kind of spiritual things. We thought about going to a gospel meeting. Let's go to a gospel meeting. Yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, some people think, be a faithful Christian, you drag your body into the church and you are there. You know what I'm saying? You know, a genuine spiritual interest, you like to sing, you like to do things. You know, and sometimes, I don't know background there, but I'll tell you, you can be a faithful Christian and not maintain your faith, and you can go. You know, so there's a lot. To maintain the right kind of home and marriage is a challenge. The world doesn't help us. You need to marry a faithful Christian, one who's on fire, and you got to maintain that. And, what does 1 John 5 tell us? How do we overcome the world? 1 John 5:4, it's not in the outline. But to me, this very essence here. And I don't want to come out Mr. Gloom and Doom here, okay, guys? I want to tell you, you can do this. It is a great blessing. But the way, if you're really concerned about your future, build your faith. That's the number one thing. You want to find Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, whoever it is, build your faith. 1 John 5, and look at verses 3 through 5. Who would like to read for me there? 1 John 5, 3 through 5. Okay?
For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
And so there's your determination. I'll never forget, back in 1979, 25 years old, hadn't had a date in a year. I was living in Abbeville, Alabama. You know where that is? It's real near Clyde. So we're out there, and I was out there in the middle of nowhere. I had gained a lot of weight. I was about 220, 230. I was a big preacher. And there's a lot of struggles. And you know what I decided to do? Is I decided to start memorizing Scripture, started running, and just try to draw closer to God. And, you know, it's very interesting. I've been taking that step. You know, I wasn't happy in my life. I felt real bad about myself. But I began to memorize Scriptures on hope, the biblical hope of heaven, not hope of getting a mate, but, you know, hope of going to heaven. And those were some great steps for me. And then I tried to find out where Christians were and drive where Christians were. You know, we used to have a scouting report, you know, as guys did, you know, where the girls were. And guess what? If you want to go and meet Christians, where's a great place to go to meet Christians? The church. Places like this, you know. But that's what you do. You get up and you go find where Christians are and you pursue that. And I'll tell you, you know, I felt like in dating I had two left feet. I mean, I was klutzo. There were so many things I didn't get. And I just will tell you, I really do believe that the reason why I found Yvette is that's for prayer. I just sure wasn't. I knew what to do. And it's kind of interesting what we ended up doing. I helped train her for her first 5K, you know. And we were dating other people. We'd talk about the people we'd date and this kind of other. And then Yvette kind of gave me the idea that, you know, she might be interested in, you know. And anyway, I could tell you more about that. But, you know, that's how that worked. It was one of those that, you know, how those things work out. Let's talk about some other things and then We'll open up for any more discussion we have, because we can talk a lot about this. You know, if you're married, girls, and marrying a guy, you need to find a guy that's willing to provide for the home, and that they need to manage financial matters. I'm running across more and more situations than I did in Virginia where a man wouldn't work. And that's a tough situation. You know, you need to have some understanding about God's way. The man is to be the breadwinner. It's not that women can't work, but the primary role of the man is the breadwinner. What's the primary role of a woman in the home? To be a homemaker and to take care of children. I'll tell you, when children come, you need to know how to manage money. Once you get married, we'll do a study on couples. We'll talk about some of those things there. But it's good to think about it ahead of time. You need to manage money. And you don't need to have a woman doing two full-time jobs if you can help it when a child comes. Some other questions to raise. We can... I was just looking at some of them that are listed here. How about the problem of one being quick-tempered? Let's just look at that one. Is a temper a problem? Temper? Yeah, it has to be a problem. Now, I realize we can have a problem with a quick temper, but what does a Christian do with a quick temper when they have that? They fight it, don't they? And they don't make it, you know, just identify with it and make it something they're proud of. You need to understand that our anger can destroy us spiritually. How about honesty? I don't even have that in this list here. How about honesty? What if you're dating somebody, and this may go back to the lesson on the fool. Remember that lesson? Fools are not friends. That's a good outline in Proverbs to look at. What if you are with somebody that will lie to gain advantage, lie to someone else? Is that a good man? What's going to be the essence? I tell you, the essence of you having a good relationship is honesty and trust. If they will lie for you, they will lie to you. You got to have honesty. I'm not saying there are times that a person in temptation may do something they ought not, but you need to look at character. Is one? Let's see. Look at the question: respect of parents. Why is that important? Have you ever dated the person that they claim that, you know, nobody understands me? Everybody's against me. You know, you're the only one that now understands me. I've had all these relationships and nobody likes me. Can I tell you? Now, I know that can happen. But as a rule, that's a big old red flag. is that you're probably dealing with a person that won't take responsibility. And you know what will likely happen? You start entering a relationship with that and you marry somebody like that, you know what you'll end up becoming? The parent. And you end up marrying somebody and they're like the rebellious child who doesn't want you to know what they're doing. And they push you back. Anyway, you can end up in a lot of different situations that are not good. Okay. I don't want this to be balanced. This is really important for me. We can talk about, you know, who not today. What's the most important thing we can do in going forward where we're at right now? And again, I'm probably going to reemphasize the point I made earlier, but I want you to make it to me. You give advice to one another here. Let's just open it up. Advice. If you were to advise another Christian about the best things they can do to find the right person, what would you tell them? Yes.
Be happy with yourself first. You can't think that the thing somebody is going to complete you or make you happy. You have to be satisfied with the person you are first.
Excellent. Now, that's excellent, because that's really good, because that's kind of, you know, I was telling you about my situation starting up. The first thing I want to do, if you want to be happy with yourself, then you need to lose weight, change clothes, get a self-help book, right? Learn. How do you be happy with yourself?
Find out who you are.
And how do you know who you are? That's right. See what God says about you. To me, there's nothing more beautiful than a person who loves God and praises God. And I'm not telling you to be fakey on your Facebook and other things like that, but you know, a lot of times on Facebook, you can learn a lot about what a person's about, can't you? Let your rejoicing be in God. What we're doing here is not just some little trivial thing. We get together and sing songs and do these things. We're trying to get people to have a heart for God. And you see, when you know who you are, then you become attractive. You know what? When people don't have much confidence in themselves, they're almost like a drowning person. Here, you want to go out for a day? They jump at you. They grab you. You know, hey, that's the greatest way to, you know, just chase somebody off. You know, you don't like the starving person. You know, they bring water. No, you got to have some self-confidence. And that is a problem many times. As I talk about, you know, sometimes in the world we're so lack of confidence. So I know in that day, we said, you know, it's not wrong. We go another direction. We're not afraid to let that person go, you know, in our service to God. And that's why we said, just a matter of time. If we find out this relationship's not right, then, hey, that's great. It'll hurt, but it's great. You know, and there's a confidence there. And that's why you can wait. Now, people are sometimes ask me with parents, well, my child's dating somebody, I don't want him to date. Here's my suggestion to the parents. Tell them to take their time. You don't know a person until you get into a disagreement, do you? You know, give it time to do that. But yet, when you're solid, I like that. That's excellent. I should have included that in my outline, but that's why I figured you'd have. So y'all have some good points. Okay, have confidence in yourself. What else? Other advice?
Patience.
Trust God. Yeah. Are you correct? No, go ahead.
Kind of piggybacking on Caleb's comments earlier about how really believe that you're faithful and your mate's faithful, that, you know, things can happen, and you were commenting on, sometimes you really can be sincerely faithful, but things happen a lot, and we don't know what the future holds. So in this point that you're making about taking your time, you know, experiencing some life together. You know, you observe yourself and this other person and how you're facing the trials of life. Because, you know, once you make that commitment to be married to one another for life, you will face whatever life brings you. You don't know what it's going to be. You look at how that person faces problems. You look at, you know, maybe the person already is dealing with problems, and you can see how do they handle their problems. You know, is this somebody that I want to go through life with? You know, would I want to, you know, also handle my problems in the same way? So that's where time also is on your side. Because over time, you will face some difficulties. I mean, not completely anything serious, but enough to see, okay, the road's bumpy right now, you know, and so how does this person handle it when the hard times come along?
And how you handle problems. You know, like the lesson this morning, that's key to marriage, how you handle problems.
Have opposites together and pray together. Make God yes. In the relationship, so you'll know that too, you get a habit now. So you have kids or then you'll already be out of having this Bible study or praying together, and so it'll be new to you.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Pray together, study together, do spiritual things together. So I'll say again, you have that desire. You're going to eliminate a lot of people. A lot of people don't want to date you. You're going to be boring, you know. But if you're spiritual, then that's a great thing. And so again, wonderful things. Any other comments? Yes.
Listen to your friends and family. If they don't like the person you're dating, then they might have a good point.
Yeah, that's right. Have some good friends. I tell you the key in life. You want to tell them, if you don't marry, make them. Surround yourself with some good people. And then listen. That's right. Okay?
When we're dating, it's supposed to be a relationship that's mutually beneficial. You know, you're there to help them, they're there to help you. So if you're at a point in your life when you want someone to help you, but you're not ready to help them, if you want someone to make you happy, but you're not in a place where you can reciprocate, then you need to look at why you're trying to get into a relationship, because there has to be some give and take. And you have to be able to help each other, not just be the one who's giving everything and not giving much back.
Ultimately, the relationship's got to be based on service. You know, it's very interesting. I got some charts sometimes about why relationships form and how they break. And what is the best way to become a servant? Be a Christian. Why is a Christian? Jesus came to seek and save and serve. He came to serve, not to be served. And so, yeah, you're right. And in looking at the relationship, I keep going back. Being a Christian. Being a Christian is what will maintain a relationship. Maintaining your faith. It will bless you greatly. Well, we've kind of probably gone, about 45 minutes here, about a good time. A lot more we could talk about. Like in these studies, we'll plant seeds, give you some material to look at, and maybe we can talk further and more about it. One other interesting thought I had in talking about knowing yourself. One of the more amazing, this is not necessarily a biblical study, but one thing that helped me a lot is studying personality types. And I know before Yvette and I married, you know, you look at, you've got certain strengths and weaknesses you put together, and you naturally are attractive to people that are your opposite. And in the study of that, it helped me come to appreciate some little more about myself. And that was helpful of why some people... I lack certain things, and I used to think there was something wrong with me. And, you know, but I found that certain people wish they could be like me. I wish they could be like other people. And I finally came to understand my strengths and weaknesses and how I'm put together. Ultimately, before God, I need to understand that. But there's some other little interesting studies. When I work with couples, one of the things that Yvette and I have done with couples sometimes is teach personality types and why you naturally be attracted to another person. This is not a critical thing. It's a common sense thing, but... that's another interesting study. One of the best things that helped me to see is that, you know, I actually have some strengths that people, you know, would like to have. And I used to look at my weaknesses and put myself down and thought my strengths were weaknesses. And it really helped me in there, at least to better understand how God has equipped me and where my best area of service would be. So that's another subject for another time, but interesting. All right, appreciate y'all's participation. Let's get our song books out and do some singing.